I had two messages that on a time element we were not able to get to before Christmas, so we're going to for sure do this one, which is courage versus fear, if you will, or from the Bible standpoint, Joseph being called to Egypt versus Herod. So what are we doing? This is a Christmas series based on positive emotions or character traits versus negative emotions or character traits. We're looking at how these conditions and emotions relate to the Christmas story and to ours. Our series, in a sentence, is character over emotion wins in all seasons, but definitely in the season of difficulty. Before we dive in deeper, I just want to share with you, hopefully a humorous level, I've made a discovery, and you know, it's been 4 years in the making. Everybody has their own threshold of what determines if someone is old or not, but I believe that for me and my house, if you will, I've reached that threshold. And it wasn't the fact that I turned 54 this year. It wasn't the fact that AARP has been sending me hate mail for the last 4 years. It wasn't that all my joints hurt when I wake up. It wasn't that I have to be steady getting into the shower. It wasn't all those things that you might think. You know what it was for me? I bought me a rain gauge. I am officially an old guy. I want to know how much it rained, dadgummit. I want to know. And I want to be able to tell you guys that your rain gauge don't work or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it was a thrill to me to walk out there this morning and see an inch and a tenth. I know how much it rained. I'm an old guy. So anyway, I thought you might like that. Because I'm not fighting it, folks. I'm just embracing it. And if you don't have a rain gauge, I am judging you. Because I've been judged all my life because I didn't know how much it rained. You didn't check your rain gauge? No. I don't got a rain. Where do you get those? R&R. All right. Here we go. I might not even do that for second service. This may just be for first service. Courage or boldness versus fear. Egypt versus Herod. So Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And so the babe has been born. We've had the shepherd experience. We've had, of course, Zechariah and Elizabeth's experience. We've had Mary's visit from the angel, Joseph's visit from the angel. And obviously what I'm telling you now is not in chronological order, but we've had the Magi visit. And so in verse 13 of chapter 2, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, some words have been read just then that if we can desensitize ourselves from our desensitization, if we can kneel before the truth of your word, Father, these words would shake us to our bone. A king seeking to destroy a child under 2 years old because he threatens his own throne. at least in this king's mind. And then when that is thwarted, he slaughters all the two and unders. And Father, here we in our own nation, we see, we know, we experience a slaughter day in, day out. Father, I'm asking you to help us to be men and women of courage. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Noah Webster in 1828 said that courage is bravery, intrepidity, something like that. It's a really big word for courage. It means that you don't hesitate. Just throw in. That quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of spirits. Valor, boldness, resolution. It is a constituent part of fortitude. But fortitude implies patience to bear continued suffering. Courage that grows from constitution often forsakes a man when he has occasion for it. Courage which arises from a sense of duty acts in a uniform manner. And then he quotes Deuteronomy 31, be strong and of good courage. So point number one, where does courage come from? And before we get too far into the points of the message, I want you to realize that, if you will, the impetus of this message comes from this verse. When he arose, verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Now, you and I are some 2,000 plus years removed from the cultural reality of this time of the world. We don't know what that time of the world was like any more than they knew what it might be like walking the streets of, pick a dangerous town. I don't want to name one because, you know, I'm judging then. But pick a town that you really, you hear that name and you go, ooh, we're staying away from there at nighttime. You might even stay away from there in the daytime. We had a preacher years ago, he's in heaven now, but at a National Association meeting in one of these towns, at midnight, he's traveling from a Mexican restaurant to his hotel, stops at a red light. And everybody that lives in that town knows, at midnight, you don't stop at red lights. And this guy walks up and tries to rob him. And when he refuses, he just shoots through the glass and shoots him in the stomach. 6 to 8 week trial and tribulation because he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. This was a bad area and time to travel anywhere at night, much less Egypt. And so for Joseph to take a two-year-old or under child plus his wife anywhere at night took courage, absolute courage. And then to take him to a foreign land for who knows how long on one dream. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of the Baptist test of any vision that you get. Here's the Baptist test. Any vision that you get at nighttime, the first question you ask yourself is, what did I eat the night before? If you ate chili, disregard the vision. Thank you for laughing. That's just a joke. But the point is that this was a time and day that God absolutely spoke through visions. It was a time that when he spoke to you in a dream, you're to take it verbatim. And that's what Joseph did. And he had courage. And I want us to have that same courage when God speaks to us through his word. God doesn't need to talk to you in a dream now. He's got an entire book of things for you and I to do. And when you and I sit down with this book and we confess our sins so that there's nothing between us and God, and we read His Word, and when He speaks to us, we're to have the same courage as Joseph had and arise and do what God tells us to do. Point number one, where does courage come from? A, courage comes from within. Courage is caught. Who knows what Joseph saw from his dad in the things that he did? Who knows what Joseph saw in his mother in the courageous acts that she did and the such? But courage is caught many times, and it is certainly taught. This generational group, for sure, you've heard the words along these lines: grab a root and growl. If I heard that one time from John Smith, I heard it 1,000. Grab a root and growl. And he was usually talking to his boys. Come on, son, grab a root and growl. I could always get Benjamin to work harder by talking louder. I could. He was taught to be courageous. He was taught to arise to the occasion. It comes from within. It is instilled. It is manufactured. That means you can make a choice and be courageous. It is learned. It is prayed down. But one thing is for sure, it needs to be there before it is needed. Folks, courage is preparation. You prepare yourself. Courage isn't a talent or an innate ability with most. It is a learned skill. Brother Steve, I'm not going to accurately quote you because of my memory, but after we had our, it'll come to me, Veterans Day deal in November, he came to me afterwards and he said, I appreciate all the prayers for our men for safety, but what you really need to pray for our men and women of service is that they will do what they've been trained to do. Something along those lines, is that right, Brother Steve? Duty and service. And yes, we need to pray for safety. I believe from our standpoint, that's our greatest concern. But the reality is those folks have been trained for a purpose and a reason. Brother Gary's praying for victory. Folks, victory doesn't come if we don't do what we've been trained to do. Duty, service, courage. It's got to be there before you need it. Courage comes from within. But folks, I'm so glad courage comes from without too. God told him. God told him what to do. God gave him the courage to do it. God is king. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present. God will give you the intestinal fortitude to grab yourself by your shirt collar and say, look here, you're going to do this. And God will provide that for you. Courage comes from without. God met with him, told him exactly what he needs to do, and watch this, God trusted him. God trusted him with his own son. And he knew that Joseph would do what he needed to do. Excuse me. See, courage comes from knowledge. Church, I mean, there's nobody that wants anybody to have this kind of power, but if I were given the power to put something into your brain that you'd never forget, this is one of the things that I would do. Good decisions are based on good information. Bad decisions are based on bad information. For 20 some odd years, occasionally, I'll bring out the 4 paintings that Jessica Stockwell did. And those 4 paintings are one of the ways that I share the gospel with young people. And those 4 paintings came out of John had asked me to come do a revival there at Kiowa, Colorado. But he told me, he said, Brother Ben, one of the biggest things that we struggle with is essentially getting people lost. It's that these people, don't worry about me, preacher, I'm good, I'm fine. Folks, that's a bad decision based on bad information. There's nobody in this building, nobody on this planet that's good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, and it, it, that particular, if you will, motto doesn't just work for salvation. It works for everything. Retirement. It works for everything. Good decisions are based on good information. Bad decisions are based on bad information. Courage comes from knowledge. Joseph knew. He woke up knowing, this is what I got to do. It's nighttime. Tough. I got to go. Egypt. Whew. It's all good. God told me I've got to do this. Courage comes from knowledge. D, courage comes from support. He had God. He had the Trinity, if you will. He had his family. Don't you think Mary was like, babe, if God told you to do this, let's go. Let's go. Courage comes from support. That's why it's so important for us to support one another. It's so important for us to support as a church. It's important. That's why I ask you every Awana Grand Prix, pick a kid and go support them. It's important. That's why we talk about supporting every ministry that we have. It's important. Courage comes from support. E, courage comes from security. Joseph knew who he was, who he served, and what he was called to do, and that God would equip him to do it. That is security. Point number two. Fear is pretty much the opposite, except for the first two. Well, what a point, right? What a life-changing point. Fear is pretty much the opposite, except for the first two. Because hear me. The first point under point two, fear comes from within too. Fear comes from within too. You're a sinner. You are a born sinner. You're a sinner by nature and you're a sinner by choice. Fear is inside of you. It's there. You're gonna have to overcome it with courage. Fear is your natural go-to. Fear is absolutely inside of every one of us. That's why those first points are so important. You and I have to face fear every day. We face fear when we wake up. What's this day going to bring? We face fear when we meet with our family. Well, what did he mean by that? What did she mean by that? We face fear when we go to work. Well, how come I'm not this? How come I didn't get that? And there you go. We have to face fear on the road. Are they going to stay in their lane? We have to face fear at church. Do they like me? Why haven't they done that? I mean, fill in the blank. We face fear everywhere we go. Fear comes from within. Now watch this. Herod is the poster child for fear. He feared so much that he literally killed anyone that he thought was after his position. Now, I'm sure everyone here has not, hopefully, faced fear on that level, and certainly, hopefully, we have never acted upon it if we have. But the reality is that's where fear will take you if you let it. And Herod is everything opposite of what Joseph exercised. Herod wasn't willing to leave his legacy in anyone's hands. Certainly wasn't willing for God to decide who he would be and how he would be it. And he took history into his own hands for a short period of time and destroyed anyone that was an absolute challenge or competition to himself. For one reason. Fear. And it came from within. Herod was a sinner and really good at it. Point number two. Fear comes from without. What happened when the Magi showed up and said, there's been born a king? Bible says it troubled the entire area. It came from without. And when Herod saw the entire city, it scared him even the more. Fear comes from without. When you're at work and some bad news comes and everybody starts worrying about their job, what do you do? If you're not careful, you do the same thing, because fear comes from without. When you get at home and the bills come in, what do? Well, if you're not careful because everybody else is climbing the walls, what are we going to do? You join in. And I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody here, but fear comes from without. And church, if we don't find our courage, we're just going to go along with the crowd. Fear comes from within and from without. But watch this. Fear comes from a lack of knowledge. You see, where courage comes from knowledge, fear comes from a lack of knowledge. Or even worse, a refusal to act upon the knowledge that you have. I'm sure me and Dawn are the only couple that when something goes wrong, we forget what God has done for us for 27 years. And we tremble just for a moment. I'm sure we're the only couple here that does that. But we do that if we're not careful. And it's not always this guy that is the first one to say, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. Look what God has done. Look how God has absolutely supported us. Look who God is. Look what God has called us to do. He's brought us this far, not to drop us now. And hallelujah, church. And so it's so important that we not give in to that, because fear is a lack of knowledge. Or a refusal to accept what you know. D, fear comes from a lack of support. Well, you're on your own on this one, buddy. Well, you should be willing to take the challenge. And hopefully and prayerfully you don't get that kind of lack of support. But it can happen, especially at work. Maybe at church. You remember the story, I've said it recently, where they were facing this huge financial situation. Well, what are we going to do? Someone asked from the auditorium, and the preacher says, we're going to pray. And the lady stands up and says, has it come to that? Yes. Yes, it has. We cannot lose courage just because a lack of support. Fear comes from a lack of support. And certainly Herod was exhibiting all of these issues of fear. Lastly, under fear, fear comes from insecurity. Who am I? Why am I here? That was one of the most unusual parallel experiences in my life at about 16 to 24. Here I was, 16 to 20, going to a church of a God-called Baptist gospel preacher, my dad. And he was preaching the absolute Word of God, preaching the truth. And I was hearing it and believing it on Sunday. On Sunday, I knew who I was. On Sunday, I knew why I was here. And I wasn't faking it. But the devil had lulled me to sleep on Monday through Saturday. And true story, I can take you in my mind to times and places during that time that I would say, what am I here for? What am I doing here? But yet on Sunday, I knew. And praise God, God's word and his truth broke through on that parallel, ironic hypocrisy. Church, listen to me. Herod lived his entire life not knowing who he was. Because Herod was a creation of God that was intended to be a child of God. And he never bought into that. He didn't know who he was. Therefore, he tried to stuff into his life all the things that he thought would bring him satisfaction, that he thought would bring him security. And watch this, none of it worked. None of it worked. And it drove him insane to the point that he murdered people to try to protect the false security that he thought made him satisfied. But watch this. Jesus and Jesus alone is our source and of significance and security. Jesus and Jesus alone is our only source of significance and security. At some point in life, you have to trust who and what you are as a result of who and what you have believed in, and that trust leads to security, and that security leads to courage. You ought to be able to say, church, I know who I am, I know who I serve, I know what I'm called to do, I know what I'm equipped to do. Courage, dare to be. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? If Maddie and Abigail will go ahead and go get ready to be baptized and just meet me over here in this, you know where I'm pointing to. Meet me over here in this hallway. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Brother Gary, if you would stand and receive folks during this invitation. Molly, you'll lead the invitation. And when you're done with the invitation, you'll just be seated and sing a little bit, and then we'll show up in the baptismal pool. God bless you, Brother Gary. Let's sing.